It's not up there yet, but I just thought it was interesting. You can have your seats. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, those that are in the house, those of you who are tuned in by webcast. We want to just let you know that we wish you a blessed Mother's Day for all of your efforts and endurance that you have gone through the years. Happy Mother's Day. And I just want to say, as you prepare yourself for the morning tithe and offering, as we continue going on with this part of our worship service, that we appreciate all of the support that you all give us here at Christ Unveiled that allows us to continue to take God's word out to the world. And I just want to say to those of you who are tuned in on our online audience, we appreciate you. And though I don't see you, we see you. We see all of your efforts, all of your support, the way that you continue to hold our arms up, continue to hold our hands up so we can do what God has called us to do. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for all of those who continue to hold up our arms in an effort to get your word out to the world. We thank you, Lord, for all those who consistently pour out into this ministry. And Lord, I just ask that you touch the hearts of those who do not. I ask that you touch the finances of those who have a desire to give but are unable to give. And God, we just thank you again. We praise you and we magnify you. In your holy name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, Pastor and I don't entertain the way that we used to years ago. But back then, if you came to our house, we would greet you at the door and say, have a seat. And that have a seat meant that we were looking forward to a time of fellowship with you. And if we said, have a seat, and you were still standing, we would be wondering, what's up with them? Why aren't they having a seat? Have a seat is a polite way of saying, sit down. You know, sometimes sit down can be kind of harsh. But it's a welcoming invitation for someone to feel comfortable when you say, have a seat. But it appears that our life consistently pushes us to run here, run there, do this, do that. And we stay so busy that we do not have an opportunity or we do not take the time to have a seat. And when we look at the scripture, we can see different times where a person has a seat and it reveals what's in their heart. And this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to talk about a couple of different seats. A seat of intimacy. A seat of learning. A seat of fellowship. A seat of influence. And so, as I go through these scriptures, I want to invite you, have a seat. The seats that we take, as I mentioned, reveal what's in our heart. And a good example of this, the seat of intimacy, comes from John 13 and 23. And this is Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. And verse 23 says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And when you look at the history of that time, when there would be dinners, people would sit around the table. And they were sitting close enough to where they could lean on the person who was sitting next to them. And John took a seat next to Jesus so that he could lean on his bosom. Because when you read the letters that John wrote and the book of John, you could see the intimacy that John had with Jesus. You could see that he had spent some time with him. He had shared a closeness with him. And we as believers, we need to get to that point to where we have some closeness with Jesus. Too often we have closeness with the world, or we have closeness with our girls or our boys. But we need to have closeness with Jesus. We need to have that intimacy with him, because when you read John's writings, you can see that not only did he share a closeness with Jesus, but he had a confidence in knowing that he was beloved of Jesus. I want to have that confidence. I know he loves me, but I want to have that confidence to know that I am beloved of Jesus. His position reflects his closeness. And just for a second, I want us to think, what does our position reflect? Does our position reflect that place of closeness with Jesus? Or does our position reflect that we're a little bit far off? But I'll get to that in a minute. So before anything else, when we get saved, when we come to Jesus, when we accept Jesus, our life should begin with a desire for closeness, a desire for more of him, a desire of wanting to know more about him. You know, and I think about couples before they get married, when they first meet. He wants to get to know her. She wants to get to know him. I say that, I would hope so, because sometimes people just kind of rush into things. But, you know, take some time and have a closeness, a close relationship with this person. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should have a desire to want to have a closeness with him. You know, I would love to say that right out of the starting blocks, we're going to want to have a desire that everything else is second nature and Jesus becomes our priority. That's the way it should be. But that's not the way it is. And it's just like sanctification. It grows. The more we seek him, the more we find him, the more we find him, the more we love him. And it's having that intimacy. But if we don't take a seat, if we don't have a seat and lean upon his bosom and get to know him just a little bit more, we will not allow ourselves to be in that position. The next seat is a seat of learning. John 12, starting with verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, said, why was the fragrant of oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. You know, what I found to be interesting about this scripture. First off, everybody didn't just come to see Jesus. They came to see Lazarus, because Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And although the room and the table were full of people, these people had listened to what Jesus had said, but they hadn't heard what Jesus had said. You know, and it's like we come to church. We listen to what the preacher is saying, but do we hear what the preacher was saying? Like I said, this room is full of people that not only came to see Jesus, but they came to see Lazarus. And they had heard, I'm sorry, they had listened to the words of Jesus. But Mary was the one that heard the words of Jesus. And we know this because it's reflected by the response that Jesus said, let her alone, because she's doing this unto my burial. Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was going to go away. He had been telling the crowds, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rise it up again. They had been listening, but they hadn't been hearing. When we come in and God is sending us a word, are we listening or are we hearing? Because it makes a difference. When we hear, hearing is going to put us in a position to prepare for whatever is next. Mary heard what Jesus said. And because she heard what Jesus said, she began to anoint his body. Because she may not understand it all, but she knew that he was going to be going away. She knew that his life was going to be gone. And so she prepared him. She said, in a seat of learning. We need to sit in the seat of learning. We don't want to perish for a lack of knowledge. We want to be able to have all the knowledge that God intends for us to have. But we can't get it just by listening. We have to get it by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to hear the word that God is sending us. See, a lot of people want to serve God. And you know, it is just, yeah, let me jump up and go. But what are you going with? What have you learned? What knowledge do you possess to take with you out on the road? So we have to not just want to act for him, not just want to move for him, but we want to be able to do what it is that he would have us to do. So Mary, as she sat at the feet of Jesus, that's where students used to sit when they were being taught. And I believe it was Paul who said that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel because he was learning. You know, we say that scripture that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, or we look at the one where God says, come, let us reason together. We look at different seating positions, but do we really know what those seated positions mean? To be able to come out of ourself. And, you know, truly, that's the hard part, coming out of ourself. But here we see that Mary sat at a seat of learning, because she was listening to his words. Then we have the seat of fellowship and preparation. Luke 22 and 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Now let me just back up a little bit. That's Jesus speaking, and he's speaking about the Last Supper that he's having with his disciples. But before he got to this place, he has sent his disciples out to tell them to go and prepare a place for us to come and take of the Passover. And they had no idea where they were going to go, what they were going to do. And Jesus told them, he said, go into the city and you'll see a man carrying a pitcher of water, which in those days, that's what women did. Men didn't carry that pitcher of water. Follow him, and when you get to the house, tell him that I need to know where we can prepare for our Passover. So the disciples not only listened to what Jesus told them to do, but they heard what Jesus told them to do. Because they could have very easily have listened, and he said, go into the city. They go into the city, and now they're hunting, looking here, knocking on this door, that door, the other door, trying to find some place to prepare this Passover meal. But because they heard what he said, they heard the direction that he gave them, they heard that he said, you'll see a man. Now, like I said, back in those days, men didn't carry water. So they could have very easily walked off and went, did you hear what he said? You know, men don't carry no water. How are we going to find him? No, they heard what he said, and then they sat and waited until they seen the man coming with the pitcher of water. And so they were able to go and prepare for that Passover meal so that they would be able to sit down and partake of that fellowship with Jesus. Now, this was his final meal before crucifixion. And when you read through the scriptures, you can see he gave out a lot of information. Again, he said he was going away. Again, they didn't quite understand. But yet and still, we have to understand that when we sit in this seat of fellowship and preparation with Jesus, it prepares us for what's coming. And when you look at what is going on in our world today, so much. We need all the help that we can get. We need all the preparation that we can get. And all the preparation that we have is in his word. If we would just turn to the word, if we would just hear what God is saying, that will prepare us for what is to come. But at the same time, we have to have a seat in fellowship with him. We cannot spend all of our time ripping and running and going here and going there and doing this and doing that. And, you know, I'm not pointing any finger because I am guilty of it myself. Sometimes my day can get so full and I'm retired. But my day can get so full of this, that, the other, go here, go there. And sometimes I think people understand that I'm retired. And so, yeah, they're going to call me and say, can you do this for me? But then I have to take a moment and just take a back step and have a seat and spend some time with Jesus. Because doing all of these activities, and, you know, especially now, when you look at the church world now, other than just being a social club, it is so full of do this, do that, run here, run there, get that, get the other. Where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where is the time that we have to take and sit back and enjoy Jesus? You know, now, I laugh when I talk about being retired, but I worked a long time, okay? So I know what it is to have a job. I know what it is to have to get up and spend 8-9 hours a day with people. Yeah, I want y'all to think good, so I'm not going to say what I wanted to say, okay? But I know what it is. I know what it is to spend 45 minutes to an hour on the road just getting to work. Of course, I will admit, I used to love that 45 minutes to an hour because I would spend time with Jesus at that point to get me prepared to deal with the people. So I understand my life is busy. I have things that I have to do. But I just want to encourage you. Take some time to have a seat with Jesus. Because I found that by having a seat with him helps me get through all the other nonsense that clutters up my day. And please believe me, there's a lot to clutter up. And then we have the seat of influence. Now, this one's a little different. Let me read the scripture. I'm going to hold that scripture. This one's a little different. And it's a little different because it does not, the scripture I'm going to read does not look at us having a seat in a good place. So Luke 22 and 55 says, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them." Now that's just the short scripture. Backdrop. Last Supper, Jesus told Peter, "Before the cock crows thrice, you shall deny me thrice." Oh, no, Lord, I would never do that. Far be it from me, Jesus. I've been sitting here with you for the last 3.5 years. I've been listening to your word. I've been hearing what you're saying. I will never deny you, Jesus. Do we have that in our heart? I will never deny you, Jesus. But the influence of the world comes along. And here we have Peter sitting amongst the ones who had a desire to kill my Savior. Now, I'm sure that was not where Peter wanted to be. You know, Peter was just following Jesus afar off to see what was going to happen. That was the intent of his heart. He just wanted to still be with his master. Not close enough for them to get me, but just close enough so I can see what was going on. And here he finds himself seated amongst the same ones that choose to crucify him. The world influences us. We may not want to accept the fact, be it by hairstyle, clothes, can't think, cars, bling bling. I mean, the world just has a pull and a draw to get us to sit amongst those that we ought not be with. And here Peter is sitting amongst those. And you know, when Peter said that he would lay down his life for Jesus, I truly believe that he truly believed that that's what he would do until he got into that situation. And so here he is, he has the influence of the world upon him, and now he's saying, "Oh, I don't even know the man. Let me call down curses from heaven." You know, so that they can see that my speech, because, you know, the girl said, "Your speech betrays you. We know you're one." Oh, no, let me change my speech. He didn't want to be in a position anymore that he sat with Jesus. He wanted to be in a position where he sat amongst those who were going to crucify him. And if you think about our life, we're good talking about Jesus here. When we're amongst whom we believe are believers, we're good at sharing God's word. But when we're out amongst the sinners, you know, when God tells us, I need you to go sit over there. First off, that's not my comfort zone. Yeah, Lord, are you sure you want me to go over there? Yeah. Sort of like Jonah. Are you sure, Lord, you want me to go over there? But we're good when we're seated in our comfort zone. But what happens to us when we step out of our comfort zone? Can we still have a comfort in Jesus? Can we still recognize him to be our comforter, to be the one that's going to see us through any hardship that we may have? But we have to take that seat of comfort. We have to not let our environment, we have to not sit in an environment that causes us to be far away from Jesus. We need to sit in an environment that's going to bring us closer. And I just happen, you know, when I leave after I've ministered, I never get to see what's on that screen. And I shouldn't say I never get to see. What I should say is I never take the time to see what they have back there. But it was just interesting because as I walked back just now, I just happened to glance up and I thought, ooh, this is a good time to give my last scripture. Look at that throne. Doesn't that look good? I mean, you just have to know that Jesus is sitting on his throne. And ooh, thank you, Lord. When we look at Ephesians 2 and 6, you know, you guys hear me say all the time, I take my salvation personally. And I know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. I know Jesus died for all of mankind. He died for me. He blesses my life. My family just kind of shakes their head at me because when something happens that really is a benefit for everybody in the world, I always say, no, not really. God bless me, and everybody else just gets the benefit from the blessing that God has given me. So I tend to take it personally. I'm not going to say that I'm selfish because I will share. But it's mine. You know, like the little kids, it's mine. He's mine. But I found that by having that mindset that he's mine, then I live like he's mine. Not that I have to have a piece of him here or share him over there. Isn't it good to know that although we share Jesus, although we share his sacrifice, that there's enough to go around to where nobody has to say, oh, I didn't get enough of that. His blood covers everything. You know, so, yeah. I may be living down here, but I'm looking forward to up there. I'm looking forward to what he has for me in the future. And so this scripture, Ephesians 2 and 6, says, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the ultimate seat that every believer wants. And in order to get to this ultimate seat, we have to sit in intimacy. We have to sit in fellowship. We have to sit in him preparing us to do what he had called us to do. And in all those positions that we sit in will get us to this position to where we can sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know, I can't speak for anybody else, but that is my goal, to sit in heavenly places with him. There is nothing on this earth that can compare to not only what Jesus has done for me, But what he is doing for me right now, and what he will be doing for me throughout all of eternity. And it all comes from sitting in a position and choosing where you're going to sit. What seat are you going to sit in? Are you going to sit in a seat that allows you to be intimate with him? Or are you going to sit in a seat that's all the way in the back of the room? Are you going to sit in a seat that's going to allow you to learn more about him? Or are you going to be sitting in a seat that you're going to be playing tiddlywinks and not paying attention? Are you going to sit in a seat of fellowship with him? Or are you going to sit in a seat, well, I got time to go out with my girls and do this, that, and the other? Are you going to sit in a seat of influence and allow the world to drag you down, to take you to a place that he never intended for us to be in? And so this morning, I just want to encourage you. Have a seat. Take a load off. Put your feet up. Bask in what Jesus has provided for us. Knowing that he came to this earth, not because he had to, not because he needed to, but he came because I needed him. He came because without him, I am lost. But he came so that I can have a seat and sit with him in heavenly places. Father, we just thank you right now for your word. Lord, I ask that you continue to tug at our hearts, Lord. Continue, Father, to help us to have a seat with you, to have a seat close to you, to look to you, Father, and knowing that everything you have done is a benefit for us, not a benefit for yourself. And Lord, I just thank you. You don't leave us out here in the dark, but you provide for us, and you give us an opportunity to make a choice. And as Joshua said, choose ye this day where you're going to sit. Are we going to sit close to him? Or are we going to sit far away? But help us, Lord, to have more of a desire for you, more of a closeness for you. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you.
You, God, have given us the grand opportunity to even have a seat with you, Lord. And we thank you for that opportunity. The world doesn't have that, God. And so, Lord, as we move through this week, Lord God, through the rest of our walk with you, continue to keep this message on our hearts and minds so that when we allow the world to cloud our minds and our judgment, you remind us, Lord, of the importance of having a seat, of having that intimacy with you. We thank you, Lord God, for your word today. And we ask, God, that it just continue to grow in our hearts and produce fruit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was a beautiful message. And the way she just explained it all, just it touched my heart today. And hopefully it did yours too. If you have not had an opportunity to give this morning, please do that. We need your help. We need your support to continue the ministries that Christ Unveiled supports. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers again. If you bow with me, I'm just going to say a quick prayer and dismiss us. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word that you've given Sister Lincoln, and we just ask that it continue to grow in our hearts. Cover and protect us as we fellowship with our family and friends today. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you for all the mothers and those that have just been mothers to some, Lord God. We just thank you for them, Lord God. And we thank you for your love. And we just ask that you just keep and encourage us throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.